You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Something happening in this place. Something happening in this place. I want to tell you that we've been really blessed this week, you know, just being with many of you, and we have the opportunity of being with the leadership as well. And I know that God is doing something very, very special in this church. And you know, when you think about the Mother's Day, I don't know if you realize it, but also you're a mama church. You're a mama church. You're not a grandmama church yet, or great-great-grandmama church yet, but you're a mama church. That's what you really are. You've launched out different churches around here in South Africa, and they look to you as the mother church. Now, we have the grand mother church that we have in Los Angeles, but you're the mother church here in South Africa, and God has used you in a very, very special way. So you have a tremendous, tremendous responsibility that God has given to you in being that mama church. I believe that God wants to take you to the next level. That's what I believe. I was here a few years ago, and then I come back again this year, and I'm able to see the growth. I'm able to see what God is doing. You guys are very, very special, and everybody looks at you as a model church. That's what I do. I've been planning different churches in Latin America, and I say to them, you know what? I want you to look at what God is doing in South Africa. I said, if he's able to do it there, he's able to do it here. That's what I say to the ones in Panama, also in Guadalajara, and every place that I go, I say, you know, we're planting a church here, and as we plant the church, I want you to look at the model church that we have in South Africa. You guys are amazing. I don't know if you realize the great miracle that is taking place here in South Africa. But I want to tell you this morning, you can't get comfortable, man. You cannot get comfortable because God still wants to move you into miracle territory. And I have a scripture here that I want to turn to. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3, and he says over here, he says to the Israelites, and he says, I'll give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. He's talking about miracles. God is talking about miracles. And the reason why he's talking about miracle, because God is a God of miracles. That's the type of God we have. And that's why it's beautiful to be able to hear the songs of miracles. Miracle, miracle, miracles, because God is a God of miracle. We witness God's miracle all over the Bible. You turn all over the Bible and you see miracles that God has performed. And the sad part about it is that many Christians in many churches, they suffer today from the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. And I believe that the greatest miracle that we could speak about this morning is the spiritual miracle, the spiritual resurrection. You are a miracle. If you want to see a miracle, just look in the mirror, because this morning when you looked in the mirror, you were looking at a miracle. Because you're the greatest miracle that we could point to, and that's the miracle of salvation. Now, we have God, the Holy Spirit, today, and he's not only in us or with us, but he's in us. And we need to understand that. And because the Holy Spirit is in us, then we should live a life that has to be of miracles. Not a natural life, but our life should be a life of miracles. as we walk, wherever we go, we should witness miracles, and we should portray a life of miracles. And God wants to move us into miracle territories. Now, I believe that this is something that God wants to do, and this is what God told his people, the Israelites. He wanted to move them into miracles. He wanted to move them into the promised land. But every time God wants to work a miracle within our lives, we need to recognize that there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be obstacles. Anytime you're going to move into a miracle that God wants to, or the promises that God has given to us, there's always going to be obstacles. You know, if there's no obstacles, then you don't need a miracle. No obstacles, you don't need a miracle. So this is where faith comes in, where we have to begin to move in faith, believing that God is going to work that miracle. Now, I've been seeing this happening that all the years of our ministry, we've been seeing God moving from one miracle to another miracle. I've seen it happen within our ministry. That's why we're able to be all over the world. And I believe that God is moving in a special way. God has moved in different ways throughout the years. I've seen it happen. But God has taken us to another level. Now, he gave us promises. And one of the things that I do, I take the promises of God very, very seriously. You saw in the film, Sonny, that I needed something. You know, I was there, and God called me, and I was there in East Los Angeles, and I'm pastoring a church, but I'm saying, where does God want to take us? What does God want to do within our ministry? And then I was in a meeting just like this that I had to speak, and I said, I need to hear from God. And that's where God gave us a promise. God gave us the promise of the treasures out of darkness. He gave us a scripture of the treasures out of darkness. Then he also gave us another promise that your descendants will inherit the nations. Now, I need something like that. You know, I just can't go and minister and not know where I'm going. And I need to know. I need to hear from God. I need to hear where God has taken us and what God wants to do. And I was in that situation at that time, and God gave us the promise of the treasures out of darkness. You know what I did? I went ahead and I got a hold of that promise, and I says, God, I'm going to believe that promise no matter what. No matter what situation, no matter what the obstacles may come in our way, I'm believing in your promise that what you promise is going to take place. And you know what? It happened. It happened. God began to give us the treasures out of darkness. You know, coming into Los Angeles, I was coming into a whole different culture. I'm from New York. I didn't know anything about Mexicans. I knew about the Italians. You know, I grew up with Italians, and I grew up with Jewish people. In fact, in my neighborhood, they would have a big beard. That's what they had, Orthodox Jewish people. And they would have their shuls and temples and everything. When I was little, what I would do, I would run, I would pull their beards, and then I just keep on running. And I had a whole host of them running after me, you know, and I'm running. So I grew up with Jewish people. I remember that also when they had their holidays, they couldn't do anything, you know. Couldn't, you know, put the stove on, or they couldn't do anything. And I knew that. And I would knock on their doors and, do you need anything? And that's the way I made some of my money at that particular time. So I come from New York, and I don't know anything about Chicanos, and I don't know anything about the language. God had to give me the language. You know, even the way they say barrios, in New York they say barrios with a B. In California, they say varios with a V. With there was a B, and then in California, it was a V. Over there's barrios. Over there in California, it's a V. They had to teach me that. They said, it's not barrios, man. It's varios. And somehow, God gave me favor with all those people. They were all those junkies and all those gang members in California. And the reason why is when God calls you, when God is calling you, when God calls you, God is going to equip you to do what he has called you to do. So that was the treasures out of darkness. Imagine having a junkie church. And I didn't know anything when I says, I got a junkie church, you know, so they started calling me God's junkie. It kind of pressed on it somehow. Where am I going to take these people? And then I needed, where am I going to go? You know, like when God calls you to do something, he doesn't give you all the details. I wish he gave us all the details. If he gives you all the details, then you don't need faith. You don't need faith. This is where he calls you to step out. He called Abraham to step out. Everyone that you find in the Bible, he calls them to step out, and they had to step out by faith. And if you want all the details, then you don't need faith. So God took me one step at a time. I mean, I had some times when I said, God, you got to show me, man. You got to show me. You got to show me. I want to know now. I want to know now. I want to know everything. And no, it doesn't work like that. He's not a detail God. But all of a sudden, he gave me that scripture you saw in the movie, that treasures out of darkness, man, and I got a hold of that promise. And that promise was fulfilled. He gave us the treasures out of darkness. Gave us the treasures out of darkness. But there was another scripture, and I like that scripture. He gave us another scripture for today. He gave us another scripture for today. He says, your descent. Now, you know what? I'm a little old now, man, you know. But I'm still kicking, you know. Still. I'm still keeping up with Pastor Chucky. As Pastor Chucky could do that, I could do it too, man. I am still in step. And I think the reason why I'm in step is because he's beginning to fulfill a promise that your descendants, my descendants, he says, your descendants will inherit or dispossess the nations. So I'm a believer, man. We were taking cities and different cities we take in California and set up victory outreach all over those places, from Southern California to Northern California. But now he says, you're going to be the big boys now. Now you're not only going to take cities, but I've called you, and I'm calling you to take countries, nations. Now the vision has become bigger. And then who's he going to raise up to take the nations? Your descendants will inherit the nations. So all this third wave. Now, there was three generations. I'm the first one, the founding generation, that many of them have gone on to be with the Lord. God has still kept me. The founding generation. And then there's the Joshua generation. My son, Sonny Jr. You've seen him preach. That's the Joshua generation. You see them right now. They have most of the big churches in Victory Outreach are pastored by the Joshua generation. But then there's another generation that God is raising up. And that's what we would call the third wave. The third. Do we have any third wavers here this morning? the third wave generation that he is raising up. And I said, well, if the third wave generation is being raised up, then I want to be a third waver. And I'm beginning to learn. I mean, just like when I went, when I came from New York, and I had to learn the lingo there and in California, the way they talk and their slang and everything, I had to learn it. Well, this is the same way that I'm doing right now with the third wave. Those people talk different, man. They look different. I don't even know that they have a part right in the middle. I don't know if you... Do you see Izzy? I don't know if you saw Izzy. You look at that guy, man. He's got right in the middle. And I want to be one of them, and I want to do the same thing, but I got no hair, right? I'm like Pastor Chucky. No hair, you know. I used to have a lot of hair. So now I says I can't, you know, I would like to put a part in the middle right here, but I got to, all different, man, all different. Then they also, now they wear sneakers. Imagine coming to church with sneakers. In the old days, I would have rebuked them. They come with sneakers. I says, you better go back home and get some shoes. How are you going to wear sneakers with this suit? And then they have all stylish sneakers. So what they've got, I got a bunch of shoes. I got a bunch of sneakers that they have given to me. So now when I'm trying to be cool, you know, I put on a pair of sneakers and I went to church and then the one that's really into that is my grandson over here, Ryan, you know, into shoes. And I don't know why he gives me another pair, you know. And another pair. And he tells me, well, you haven't worn them. Dad, we haven't worn my shoes, man. You know, I said, I'll wear them. He wants me to wear sneakers with my suit and come to church. Well, the other day I wore some sneakers. And then I wear the sneakers, and then he says, hey, man, that's not in style. And then, not only that, but even, you know, I listen to them and they talk about, you know, man, you know, when I says, man, wasn't that service great? Yeah, man, it was sick. I said it was sick. I says, man, that was a great service. Yeah, man, it was sick, man. I mean, that's supposed to be good. And then they go and they say, man, it was fire. The way we say, we were talking, man, that was heavy, man. You know, that was heavy, man. Now it's fire, and it's sick. And I'm learning something. We have the church in Los Angeles, and it's called the Third Wave Los Angeles. Third Wave LA. So guess what? Julie and I are members of the Third Wave LA. We get up in the morning, okay, and we're going to our church at Third Wave LA. They're all young people, all of them. I mean, all of them. Over here, you got some oldies that, you know, when they receive you, you got some oldie-looking people over here, you know. Some of the oldies want to also have those signs when you... Well, over there, it's not like that, not like that. You walk in, and there's those signs, young people with those signs. Everything is done by young people. By third waivers, everything is done within that church. From the walking in to ushers to the people that are up there singing. And I say, amen, I'm part of that church. You know where they put me? On the third row. Usher me in and said, you know, I'm the father, man. Instead of putting me in the front, you know, so I'm, either way, I got a complex. And I walk in and I'm, walking in like that and sit in the third row. And man, I am telling you, there's a move of God that is taking place there in Third Wave. L.A. God is doing something through the third waivers. God, there's a move of God. There's a spirit of God that is taking place through all these young people, through this third generation. You got to begin to recognize it. When God is moving, we have to begin to recognize. And one of the things that we have to do, we need faith. We need faith to be able to say, okay, this is you, Lord, and begin to step out. That was the problem with the Israelites. You know, God called over here, the scripture says they were at the edge. You know, he bring them to the edge. He brought them to the edge of Jordan. Now, he brings you to the edge of Jordan, and then they have an obstacle. God wants to take them into the promised land, but they have an obstacle. They have the Jordan that they had to cross. They were at the edge of the Jordan. There are many Christians like that today. Many Christians that God wants to fulfill the promise within your life. And whatever promise he's given to you, it's going to take faith. And some of you are at the edge. You're at the edge of that miracle. Just like the Israelites were at the edge of that miracle, but you're at the edge. You're living at the edge of a miracle. But you haven't stepped out. You will not realize or you will not be able to experience the miracle within your life until you step out. And that's precisely what I'm doing. I'm saying, God, you're going to bring a Holy Ghost revival through this third waiver. You gave us a promise, and you've given us that promise, Lord, and I'm believing for it, and I'm willing to step out. Just like I stepped out with the founding generation. With that founding generation, we had to step out. I had to believe that God was going to raise these guys up. These characters, heavy-looking characters within our congregation. And I said, God, if you gave us a promise that you're going to raise them up, then I'm believing you that you're going to raise them up. And God began to raise them up as we stepped out. Then the second generation, the children, our children, my children, and that second generation, your children, God says, I'm going to raise them up to be preachers. I'm going to raise them up to be missionaries. And sure enough, God did just that. Look at my whole family. Sonny Jr., man. I sit down and hear Sonny Jr. preach, and I get convicted. Powerful, powerful preacher, Sonny Jr. Then Timothy said, I'm not going to stay behind. And Timothy became a preacher as well, and he's pastoring the church in San Jose. Sonny Jr. is pastoring the mother church. And then also my girls are all involved in ministry. And their husbands are saved and also involved within the ministry. All of my children are involved. That's what you would call the Joshua generation. But then there's a whole host of others, a whole generation that has risen up, and they're actually saying, you know what? Give us some room. Give us some room. Just like God has raised up the founding generation and God has raised up the Joshua generation, this is whole third generation that they're saying, you know what? We have a promise that God has given to us. Just like you had a promise, we have a promise. Give us some room. And that's precisely what we're actually doing. So I've had to step out. God is going to give us nations. I'm believing that he's going to give us nations through the third waivers. And I stepped out into Latin America. Imagine again, I'm stepping out into miracle territory. Now, Spanish, I kill the Spanish. You know, and especially when, you know, I'm Puerto Rican. My parents are Puerto Rican. That's a whole different culture. That's a whole different Spanish. And I remember that they would speak in Spanish, and I would speak back to them in English. So I really didn't really get to know the Spanish. All I knew in the Spanish was cuss words. Now, you want to talk to me in Spanish? Come on, man. I'll give you some cuss words, man. Being out in the streets, you know? And all of a sudden, you know, I felt the call of God to go to Latin America. Not only raising the ministry in California, and we're out here in South Africa. Even I could give you stories about the beginning of South Africa. We had some rebels here. I'm telling you, it wasn't easy, man. The beginning, we kind of brought all kinds of people over here to begin the ministry over here. And I could give you a whole story of that, but look what God has raised up. But now, I'm believing that he's going to give us countries. Countries. So then again, Julie and I said, Julie, what do you think? Okay, let's, I like, she, you know, she's a back-to-back partner. You know, she's got a lot of guts. Back-to-back partner. And we went out and stepped right out and began to work with Latin America. It wasn't easy. In fact, we started out with Mexico. And in Mexico, they looked at us like, okay, you guys are American. We're different. So I began to talk to them about South Africa. Look what God is doing in South Africa. I believe God wants to give us Latin American countries. And all they were involved, the vision was Mexico, 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 Mexico. In fact, their conferences were called the National Conferences. And I would say, why call it the National Conference? What we should have is a Latin American conference. International Latin American Conference. But they were caught up with that tunnel vision of just their country. And then I would try to talk to them about, man, God wants to do something great, and he wants to, and they would look at me and, oh, you're an American, and we have a different culture. Even though we're Victory Outreach, we are different, and we do it our way. Man, it was a struggle that I had. In fact, in one of those, in Mexico, we had some of the leadership conference we had in Mexico, and I was going to speak to them. And again, I was going to challenge them. And I have Pastor Tom. I don't know if you know Pastor Tommy from, you probably know him from Colorado. Yes. He's laying there, and I'm just going to go into the meeting that I was going to have with the leaders of Mexico. And he said to me, you're wasting your time. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? You're wasting your time. So what do I do here? I got that thing in my head, you know. You're wasting your time. So then I went ahead and I went in. And again, I'm preaching like I'm preaching to you right now. And I said, you know what? We got to take Latin America for Jesus, and God is raising you up, and you're going to be the people that are going to take the nations and all of Latin America. You know, body language, man, you know. That's encouraging, you know. And I look at them, and then as I look at them, you know, this other guy planted in my mind, you know, before I walked in, you're wasting your time. And what I did is I took the Bible and I says, ah, man, forget you all, man. And I just walked out. And then, but you know what God did? God said, no, I'm still going to raise them up, but you have to raise up a model. A model. There has to be a model. And I got that slogan, show and tell. Show. We talk a lot, you know. Sometimes we talk a lot, and some people, okay, well, you know, show me what you got. You know, you talk a whole lot, man. We preach a whole lot. God is going to do this, and God is going to do that. Okay, well, where's he doing it, man? Show me where he's doing it. So God said to me, you know, you got to, these people need to, you need to show them. You need to show them what I could do. So then where do we pick? We pick Panama. Of all places, Panama. We went into Panama, and we started pioneering from scratch in Panama. And you know what God did? God began to raise up that ministry, raise up that ministry. And then only that, but then we took some of our guys and we sent them to Guadalajara. The very same concept that we had in Panama. And Panama, the ministry began to grow. Right now, Panama is the biggest church in all of Latin America. Victory Outreach Latin America began to grow. And then we took them and we sent a group into Guadalajara, Mexico. And then that ministry began to grow. And all of those naysayers and all of those doubting Thomases that were there in Mexico, even from the top, and some of those top leaders that would give me a hard time, would look at me with that ugly face when I'd be preaching. All of them now are going to Guadalajara and saying, teach us what you're doing. We want to know what you're doing there, and we want to know how you're growing your church. The very same thing in Panama. The very same thing is happening in Panama. And you know where I always point to? Where I always point to? And I'm even pointing to that in Third Wave LA. I'm saying, you know what, man? I want to show you a model. I want to show you a model. And the model that I want to show you, there is a group of people in South Africa. There is a group of people in South Africa that have stepped out into miracle territory, and God is doing great and mighty things. And if God is able to do it in South Africa, God is able to do it here. You know, you guys are a miracle. In a short period of time, you guys are all over South Africa. I mean, you have now 8 churches. I believe eight churches. And this is just the beginning. And you know why you have 8 churches? Because you were able to say, you know what, God, not only are you able to do it in Cape Town, but we're believing that you're able to do it in other cities as well, and you have stepped out. You've stepped out into miracle territory. And because you have stepped out, God is beginning to do something powerful here in South Africa. Amen. But let me share with you. I mean, don't get comfortable, man. You see, man, yeah, praise the Lord. God has used it up. We're just comfortable. We have stepped out. You know what God wants to do? God wants to do some things through this ministry right here. Let me tell you, I see it. I see it. I come here and I see what God wants to do. You're sitting in this building and I look at this building and yeah, man. And I gotta climb up those stairs, man. It's terrible. Oh, God, I got to climb up those stairs. I don't even know whether I see a mall. I don't even know where the opening is, man. You know, you got, and not only the opening is not in the front. I says, is the opening in the front? No, the opening is in the back. Well, that's great. it's taking you to this level. You're packed out right now. You're packed out. You got two services. Do you think that God wants to keep you here? You think that God wants to keep you here? You know what God wants you to do? God wants you to step out. I say, God wants you to step out. I say it again. God wants you to step out. I say it again. God wants you to step out into miracle territory. You know, I looked at that. Last time I would come to the hotel that they put me in when you had the conference. It was a hotel, and right outside of the hotel, I looked through the window, and I see the Hillsong building. And I see them coming in, you know, coming in the Hillsong, you know, and I'm looking over there, looking at that building. I say, wow, man, that's a nice building. You know what I've done? I come over here, and I say, you know what? God wants to move you, man. I want you to know God wants to move you people. God wants to move you people. And then I told Pastor Chucky, I said, hey, man, why don't you go check that Hillsong? Check that Hillsong building. Just check it out. Not only the Hillsong building, check out every building. Some of those big buildings. Some of those big churches. Maybe that are ready to sell, and those big churches that want to move on and they're not comfortable anymore with their building. You check that out. Nothing is too big for you. God is taking you to another dimension. God is calling you to step out into miracle territory. God is about to do some great and mighty things within your ministry and within your life. Sit down for a minute. Now let me see if there's some funny looking people. They're sitting there. I'll throw the mic at you right now. Woo. If God has brought you this far, you know what I foresee? I foresee over here a big building. You don't have to walk up those stairs, you know. Some of you old folk, you like those stairs? You walk up. And then they want you to come in here and sing. My God. Well, you know what I see is a beautiful, beautiful building. I'm talking about a few thousand that is able to accommodate a few thousand people. Now, I did it. I did it. We went ahead and we had one building. That was a building where we had a television set. But people didn't know it. You know, it was a television set. Some guy did it, you know, took the television set and made it into a pulpit. And nobody knew it because it looked good on the outside. But inside, when you walk out like that, you see the television screen. And I would see the reaction of all these invited preachers that we would have come to the church. What reaction? You know, some of these sophisticated guys we have come, and they're going to preach. They come like this, and you know, like I said, it's good for me to be here this the screen of a television set. Now, we weren't, you know, we didn't have, we weren't dignified. You know what I mean? We're dignified. Imagine us. You know, that's the level that we were in. I mean, we had anything, we put it. Good. Make it a chair. Make this thing this. Let's make the children's, you know, church right there. Whatever we did. We did whatever we needed to do. Was not sophistication. But then after that, God moved us from there. He moved us to another building, right next to the police department. Imagine that. All these dolphins. They come out of the police department. They walk right a few steps and they're in the church. Right next to the police department. And then after that, we went ahead and we says, okay, we outgrew it, just like you guys are outgrowing everything. We outgrew it. We said, we need another building. So what did we do? We went into a nightclub where they would have the dancing on Saturday night. Oh, da, 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 da. That reminds me of where we are right now. We're in a nightclub right now, a real famous nightclub. We have to cover the bars. When they come in, we say, how you feel? You need a drink? And then we even have a real bartender that was a bartender before. Would you like a drink? Then they see that whole bar. But we went into a nightclub, and on Sunday, we would have sanctified it. That whole week was dancing. On Sunday, we come, spray it. So that the people come in and they can feel the presence of God. And then after that, we grew that. Just like the crowd you have right here, we grew that. Now we had double services and we grew that. We need another place. And then guess what happened? God opens up the door to a school. And I'm telling you about you women. You women have a lot of faith. It was a burned down building. And then Julie says, oh, it's wonderful. I found a place that's just for us. I went to look at that building and I said, my God, this place is burned down, man. She says, can't you see it? I says, I ain't seeing nothing, man. There's something about looking through the eyes of faith, you know? Some of you look through the eyes of fear, you know. But you need to look through the eyes of faith. And she was looking through the eyes of faith. And I said, what in the world? She says, I could see it right now. God is going to raise up a base right here in this facility. It had a baseball field. It had everything. And then we went in. I went, okay, Julie, if you believe it, you know, I want to go through you, your eyes of faith, and I'm going to believe it too. And we went in there, and all of a sudden, God gave us the facilities there. And we went from one building, and we remodeled it, and then we went to another building. Finally, we built a place. We had a place that will seat about 5,000 people. About 5,000 people. We raised up a congregation for 5,000 people. We're able to have the Mighty Men of Valor. We're able to have a lot of the facility women's conferences. And then all of a sudden, you know, God raised up a congregation of close to 4,000 people that God raised up there in Victory Outreach. Some of them, I think he was there and others that were there. It was 3,500 or 4,000 people from one step. To another step, to another step, to another step. As we began to step out, into every step was miraculous. Stepping out, we always have obstacles, always have obstacles. Always have those doubting Thomases, always have obstacles that you have. But we step out, and that was a miracle. And then I step out, that was another miracle. And step out, and that was another miracle. And God raised up. Based there, we had a church of over 3,500 to 4,000 people. Do you know when I come here, it reminds me of that? You know what you have over here? You have an apostolic ministry. Yeah. You know what they called me? And I was up in one of the, you can take time, it's okay, yeah. I was going to be short, but it's all right. I don't see no clocks, man. Up in Panama, they have a big church of 25,000 people. So when we went in there, I said, we started pioneering. I says, I don't want them to look at us as a Dolphin or drug addict church. I want us to look at us the same way that what they're doing, we're doing the same thing, you know. So I went and preached at this church, you know, of 25,000 members preaching. So when I began to tell them about, you know, we're going out there, we're hitting this and we're hitting that, and we're going into these different countries, then they began to look at us, and then they started calling me, instead of calling me doctor, which some places they call me doctor, when they call me doctor, I said, who's that? They started calling me apostle. We got the apostle Sonny in the house today. And I got up, yes, sir. If that pastor could be an apostle, then I'm an apostle too. That's what they call me over there in Panama, the apostle. They call me that in Mexico, the apostle. And the reason why they call me that is because of what we're doing in Victory Outreach, of the churches that are being planted and everything that God is doing. You know, when I look at Pastor Chucky, let me tell you something right now. You have an apostle within the house. Sit down. You know what even proves it even more is that he does what I do. He does. I remember when I was pastoring our church there in La Puente, sometimes I would have to go out, and I was gone for about 3 months. 3 months. Now, when you don't have that gifting, and that church is not an apostolic church, you know what happened? It falls apart. It falls apart. And I would be gone about 3 months, because we're dealing with all these different churches and we're dealing with all these different situations that we have around the world. And then I come back and the church has grown even more. And I say to Julie, man, something's wrong here. How in the world is the church going to grow when I'm not there? Church has grown even more. And then because of the apostolic ministry. Apostolic church. And I come over here. Pastor Chucky's been gone for about 3 months, man. I mean, he came back with us. We were out there doing apostolic work and doing the work of the ministry. Apostolic work we were doing out there. And Chucky was right alongside there doing the apostolic ministry. And I was thinking, man, what's going to happen to the church when he comes back? And man, he come back, and I come this Sunday morning, and I say, man, this here reminds me of La Puente. You may not realize what you have. And when I'm talking about the ministry here, it's not just the church. It is a base. It is a base. It is an apostolic base that God is raising up. And this is just the beginning of what he wants to do. But you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to step out. I believe the next time probably I come, if it takes 3 years and whatever, and I come back, I don't think you'll probably be here in this building. I don't think you'll be here in this building. I believe God wants to do something greater than he wants. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. I don't know what happened to my message. I'm giving you the message. I'm giving you the word. I'm giving you the message. I'm giving you the word. Get a hold of it. It's a promise that God has given to this church. There's going to be third waivers that are going to come out of here. Third waivers. There are third waivers that are here right now. They say, make room. We're going to make room for those third waivers. They're going to be coming up. God is doing something powerful over here. And you know what he have to do? He's telling you, step out. Step out. Some of you are going through different problems and whatever you're going through. And any time that a church is going to do something for God, there's going to be problems, man. There's going to be great problems that the congregation is going to go through. Great problems that you're going to go through. Because the enemy wants to hold you back. The enemy wants to hold you back. He wants to hold you back from what God wants you to do. He wants to hold you back. But this morning you just say, you know what, I'm tired of being held back, man. I'm not going to be held back anymore. I'm going to step out. God is a God of miracles. God is a great God. God is a God that is able to do the impossible. We've been singing about it. We sing about miracles. We sing about how God is able to do the impossible. But now we're stepping out. We're stepping out into the impossible. We're stepping out into miracle territory. And you know who God wants to use? He wants to use you. Yeah. There's some heavy people in this church. There are people with different giftings within this church that God wants you to release those giftings. Something powerful is taking place within this church. And we need to believe it. We need to get a hold of it this morning and say, I am part of it. I'm one of those people that God has raised up. I'm one of those people that God has gifted. I'm one of those people that God is calling. And I'm going to ask you this morning to begin to step out. Step out right now and get a hold of that calling. Get a hold of that miracle that God wants to give you this morning. God wants to do some great and mighty things. And as we sing a song, I want you to step out from this, from wherever you are right now. And believe God, believe God, believe God.